The Inner Voice Show is a dialogue between the host and the listeners about their relationships. This show is not an attempt to assess, diagnose, or treat any mental health or illness condition. Please consult your physician, psychiatrist, or psychotherapist for personal matters.
Inner Voice. A heartfelt chat with Dr. Fujian.
Well, hello, everyone. Welcome to the Inner Voice Show. I'm Dr. Fujian Zain and have Sean in studio. And this show is about what matters most in our life. Our thoughts, our minds, our feelings, actions, relationships, and our fulfillment in this beautiful journey of life. In this show, I'll bring you two of the latest research about the effect of intelligence, actually, and versus niceness in success, and how our young adults lack financial skills. And from there, we're going to talk to Mary Flor Toniato, who is the author of the book Money Manifestation and Miracles. Yes, money miracles. We're going to all learn how to create miracles with money today. And we also get a chance for you guys to call us at 951-922-3532. That's the studio line, 951-922-3532. And so don't go anywhere. We'll be right back with all of the good stuff at the show.
Fujian Zain is a psychotherapist, a marriage and family therapist, and a life coach with more than 27 years of experience. She is the author of the Awareness Integration Model, which has been researched and published in numerous international journals. Dr. Fujian has offices in Beverly Hills, Irvine, and Woodland Hills, California, and also consults online and by telephone. Make an appointment with her today by calling 818-648-2140 or go online to www.fujian.com. That's www.fujian.com.
Join the conversation every Monday afternoon at 3 p.m. Pacific for Inner Voice Heartfelt Chat with Dr. Fujian. Dr. Fujian has a direct approach to getting you to free your mind. Inner Voice is a live call-in show where you can chat about your life and all that matters to you in your relationships. Inner Voice Heartfelt Chat with Dr. Fujian, Monday afternoons at 3 p.m. Pacific on Smart Talk, KMET, 1490 AM, and on the Internet Stream.
Well, welcome back to the Inner Voice Show. Now, I have two studies for you. I'm going to go through the first one first for you. Why it doesn't pay to be just nice. You also need to be intelligent. New research has revealed how people's intelligence rather than their personality traits lead to success. Now, researchers at the universities of Bristol, Minnesota, and Heidelberg devised a series of games to find out which factors lead to cooperative behavior when people interact in social and workplace situations. Now, their findings due to be published in the Journal of Political Economy show that people with a higher IQ displayed significantly higher levels of cooperation, which in turn led to them earning more money as part of the game. The failure of individuals with lower intelligence to appropriately follow a consistent strategy and estimate the future consequences of their actions accounted for those different outcomes. Now, personality traits such as agreeableness, conscientiousness, trust, and generosity also affect behavior but in a smaller measure and only initially. The researchers conclude, based on their findings, that a society is cohesive if people are smart enough to be consistent in their strategies and to foresee the social consequences of their actions, now including the consequences for others. Now, Professor Eugenio Proto from the Department of Economics at the University of Bristol said, "We want to explore what factors make us effective social animals. In other words, what enables us to behave optimally in situations where cooperation is potentially beneficial, not only to us, but to our neighbors, people in the same country or who share the same planet Earth. People might naturally presume that people who are nice, conscientious, and generous are automatically more cooperative." This research finds overwhelming support for the idea that actually intelligence is the primary condition for the socially cohesive, cooperative society. Now, a good heart and a good behavior have an effort too, but it's transitory and small. Now, an additional benefit of higher intelligence is our experiment, and likely in real life, is the ability to process information faster, hence to accumulate more extensive experience and to learn from it. This scenario can be applied to the workplace, where it is likely that intelligent people who see the bigger picture and work cooperatively will ultimately be promoted and financially rewarded. With education, results suggest that focusing on intelligence in early childhood could potentially enhance not only the economic success of the individual, but the level of cooperation in society in later life. Now, the research involved four different games, which were representative of a different and very specific strategy situation. Interactions were repeated, giving time and opportunity for each participant to observe and to reflect on the past behavior of the other. Games used for the study included Prisoner's Dilemma, Stag Hunt, Battle of Sexes, which are often used in game theory, the science of logical decision-making in humans, animals, and computers. Where the strategy game involved a trade-off between current and future gains, those with higher IQ won more money per round. The failure of individuals with lower intelligence to find and follow an optimal strategy and appropriately estimate the future consequences of their action accounted for the difference in the outcome. Perhaps surprisingly, conscientious people also tended to be more cautious, which in turn reduced their cooperative behavior. Well then, everyone, niceness is great, but the best thing is to be able to raise your intelligence by looking at the consequences and the long-term consequences of your behavior and picking up information faster and the consequences to others. So, but no matter what, don't lose the niceness. Have the niceness too. I think if it's all, if even at one point, if I don't feel intelligent at one point and I think I'm not getting it, still being nice is much better than not being one. At least people will help you there. So that would be my 2 cents on top of that research. The second research: many young adults lack financial literacy and economic stability. This is what the study found. Nearly a third of young adults in recent study were found to be financially precarious because they had poor financial literacy and lacked money management skills and economic stability. Only 22% of 18 to 24-year-olds in this study sample were deemed to be financially stable, according to lead author Gaurav Sinha, a graduate student in social work at the University of Illinois. Now, these individuals were better at planning, managing their finances, had checking or savings accounts in mainstream banks, and were less likely to use costly alternative financial services such as payday lenders. They also were more likely to be white males who were employed and college educated, according to the study. Now, a professor at the University of Illinois examined financial attributes and behavioral pattern of emerging adults based on these characteristics. The researchers classified them into 4 groups: financially precarious, at risk, striving, or stable. About 36% of the people in the study were deemed to be financially at risk because they had experienced a significant unexpected drop in income during their prior year. They reportedly had no savings with which to pay their living expenses for 3 months if needed, and said they lacked the resources to come up with $2,000 in the event of an emergency. The financially precarious group, which composed 32% of the sample, had the poorest actual and perceived financial literacy because they lacked access to mainstream financial institutions. They were frequently users of alternative financial services, which tend to charge high interest rates and fees for them. Similarly, their counterparts in the financially striving category, which composed 10% of the sample, struggled with money management behaviors such as budgeting and credit card usage. People in this group also put their health at risk because by skipping doctor's visits, medical tests, and prescription due to financial constraints. What differentiated people in the financially precarious and at-risk groups from their peers was they experienced much less financial socialization, which the researchers defined as formal or informal learning about financial concepts and prudent money management behaviors. However, even people in the financially stable group were only moderately confident about their financial literacy, which clearly showed a need to invest more in strengthening the financial capabilities of our children and youth. It is concerning that many young adults and are entering adulthood without adequate financial capabilities to ensure their future well-being and that of their children. The sample included 3,000 emerging adults who participated in the National Financial Capabilities Study, a survey that assesses the financial knowledge at the U.S. adult ages of 18 and over. The NFCS evaluated participants' financial aptitude, including their understanding of basic economic concepts such as interest rates and inflation, and assessed their use of credit cards, conventional financial institutions, and alternative financial services. The paper is accepted at Journal of Children and Youth Services, and you can find it there. I get all of my latest study as science daily, so you can definitely go there if you not wanted to know more about it. I think what's important to find out is that the financial literacy and the skills are important. So for every parent who's out there, it's probably best to start your children to learn in how to spend, how to save, and create for them to experience their own experience when they are living with you with money, because they need to gain the skills as they're going to be independent. And I'm so excited that when we're back, we're going to talk to Mary Flora Toniato, who's the author of Money Manifestation and Miracles. And we're going to talk more about financial literacy and what you can do actually to create what you intend to create. Don't go anywhere. And if you want to call us at 951-922-3532. We'll be right back.
Have you ever wished you could just wake up one day, reach across your nightstand, and hit the life reset button? Let's face it, the struggles and frustrations of everyday life leave millions of women and men around the globe yearning for a new way. And the new way is right here in Life Reset, the awareness integration path to create the life you want by Dr. Fujian Zane. You can get it now at Fujian.com or Amazon.com. Life Reset, the awareness integration path to create the life you want. You deserve it.
Were you recently injured in a car accident? Then you need the law offices of Aria Thatakar for your free case evaluation. Don't let the medical bills pile up, and don't let the insurance companies try to settle your claim for a few hundred dollars. Call 714 714- 464-3246. The law offices of Aria Thadikar serves all of California. If they don't win, you don't pay. So call now, 714-464-3246. This is a paid-for attorney advertisement by the law offices of Aria Thadikar of Orange, California.
To meet you here today, there's just so many things to say.
Oh yeah, there's so many things to say. And thank you for being with us, Dr. Fujian Zane, and you're listening to the Inner Voice Show. And I'm so excited to have Mary Flor Tuniato, who's an author of Money Manifestation and Miracles. She, as a CEO and founder of Power with Soul, she specializes in helping ambitious women, entrepreneurs, professionals, and leaders to reach financial prosperity and success while fulfilling their social promise in the world. Her work has been featured internationally in media outlets like Yahoo, Finance, Washington Post, International Business Times, Los Angeles Times, and more. Welcome to the show, Mary Flor.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
Yes, it's exciting. And I've been going over your book, and it's really exciting. And just for, I kept having realizations as I was reading your book. So it's very exciting. Yes, yes,
that's
it's
wonderful.
Very exciting. So first of all, tell us what got you to want to write about money manifestation and miracles?
Well, first of all, there's two things actually that led me to it. The first one is that women are not yet an economic power. We're not tapping into the economic power of women at this point. And I wanted to help really change the current state of affairs for women, because I came across this really shocking statistic that in the U.S., women-owned businesses generate $1.6 trillion in revenue a year, which is fantastic. But only 3.3% of them ever make it over $500,000 in revenue. And so that was a really, really interesting thing that I found. And then the second point, too, is that what we know from research is that when women are empowered with money, they become difference makers, because they're not only going to change their lives for the better, but they're going to do that with their communities, with their families, with their children, and they're going to pay forward their own successes. And so imagine a world where we can have more women empowered with money, the absolute betterment that we can have, you know, not only on so many levels, but really, you know, on a much more soulful, spiritual level. And we need a lot of peace right now. So this is really also a call to action for women to step up and to own their power and their worth.
A lot of the women around the world are managing money to the best of that they can, whether they're earners and managers of the money, or somebody else earns it, you know, their husbands or fathers earn it, and then they are the manager of the money. They do have the skills, but I do hear that based on their belief system, because they're managing their money on a budget level, they're not necessarily taking in the ownership of the power that they have of the managing, then making and creating it, and successfully raising it, and then claiming what their standing is in the community, even if they have to earn it in the corporate world.
Exactly. You know, the key word there that you just said is ownership. Mm-hmm. And really, as women, we've made great strides. There's no two ways about that. But there really can be a lot more. I mean, we still have a wage gap in pay. Yeah. You know, that still exists. And we're talking about women here in North America, that we have access in G7 countries that have access to their money. But many more of the sisterhood around the world, they don't have that opportunity, let alone to be educated. And so, you know, we've got to start to even take that on, that responsibility to really, for us as women, to then pay it forward and also then teach our children, especially young daughters, of really the power that money can have for us. Because for women, money equals self-empowerment.
Definitely.
And, yeah.
It allows, around the world, it allows the women to not be abused and have their power in choosing their life much more when they are taking the ownership of creation of money and managing money appropriately. So I totally agree, and I appreciate you doing that. Now,
yes.
I have the book, so I like this, what you said, is in page 27, you say, money is uniquely human creation. Very true. And so, so as a society, we have infused it with powerful force of its own, and then we expend the energy through our work in exchange for money, which is just another form of energy. And connecting money with love opens up tremendous possibility for joy. And money can be used to demonstrate your love, nurturing, and appreciation, which normally is really associated to hell of a lot of anxiety.
Yeah.
So talk about that more.
Well, it's so interesting because when I talked about it in the book, I really talked about the timeless truth of money. That, you know, it really is a human creation. It doesn't exist in nature. It doesn't exist in the animal kingdom. And we created that. And we connected so much emotion to money, which in of itself is just a tool. It's a tool for us to get from point A to point B. But somehow along the lines, we've connected it to our emotions. And when we connect it to our emotions, we can also then look at it from a point of view of, is it mirroring my self-worth and my value? And, you know, it's that's the fascinating part about it. And one of the things that people talk to me about is they say, oh, you said in the book that money is a form of love. And that is such an awakening for a lot of people because they don't ever really, who goes around talking about that, right? We have these beliefs about money that we've inherited, you know, over time with things like money doesn't grow on trees, you know, money is the root of all evil, all those kinds of statements that really are no longer serving us, but somehow they're getting perpetuated. So, I mean, in this book, I come out and I say money is a form of love because you cannot, you can take care of yourself and have a quality of life, but you can also leverage that to help your family and help so much more, many more people because you can't take that with you. It's here for us to use on earth. And why not do something good with that? And, so that's one of the things that people have commented on it, which I think is not normally a thing that we talk about, that money is a form of love.
And it, as you said, there's a nurturance that happens. There's a giving that happens. You know, money as a tool of expressing love, it can be utilized. And I know that you know that you can, it could also be used as a tool of greed, but it can also be used as a tool for love. And sometimes we don't associate it. Chapter on page 40, you said, whatever your past or current challenges with money are, they do not define you. And who you are or dictate your future, you are in charge of your destiny and you can create your own empowered money story. It doesn't have to be the story of your parents. It doesn't have to be the story of, you know, the group of the society that you were being raised in. It could be your story, and that's why we also hear a lot of people who were living in poverty or in their families were really suffering, or immigrants, at one point they changed their story and they got to wherever they intended to get. So you also say be mindful and purposeful with money in how you earn it, how you spend it, and how you keep it. Talk a bit about that.
Yeah, well, first of all, we have to be mindful of money as a resource. That's really what it is. It is a resource for us to be able to do what we need to do. And to, if you've got a very big mission and a big platform, you are going to need money to make that happen. And, you know, it's so fascinating because growing up, so many people have been perpetuating a story about money that no longer serves them.
Sure.
And what's so interesting about this is that you can, in a matter of a minute, and very quickly, change your money story. And, you know, you talk about when you read that part where I say that, you know, whatever your past challenges or current challenges are with money, they don't define you. Because we have this beautiful thing called choice. And it's free, everybody. It's free. You can use it right now. And you can choose to create a new story. And when you create a new story, think about something that really feels expansive to you around money. And you know, you can write it down and look at it and read it out to yourself. And that might sound like a funny thing, or even if you read it to yourself in front of a mirror, because what's going to happen, it's going to bring up a lot of emotions of either fear or doubt or things that are coming up to the surface, which is actually a good thing that it's coming up to the surface, because then you now have the awareness with which then to release it.
Absolutely. And,
yeah.
In the book that I wrote, Awareness Integration, because we go through every single aspect of life. And one of the biggest aspect is really the awareness of your belief systems about finances and money and how that kind of sets up your whole system in how you generate money, what, you know, the ceiling that you think that money is. And I'm really glad that you're talking about it in your book. So page 68, you have, actually, these are chapter summaries that I'm reading for every one of you. It's 9 tips to keep in mind on your journey. Give yourself permission, be honest, put yourself first, start your money journal, forgive yourself and others, feel prosperous now, and pay attention to the synchronicities, celebrate the small steps along the way to the big achievement, and most of all, can you just have fun with all of this?
That's right. You know, I love that we're laughing about it and we're showing everybody that, you know, this isn't just a conversation about money, because really once people start talking about money and especially talking about their money, then it gets so serious. You know, like I was saying in the book, which is a really funny thing, is that, you know, try this out as a social experiment. You know, the next time you get invited to a dinner party, if you went around asking your host and other people there, how much do you make? How much is in your bank account? I can almost guarantee that you're not going to be invited back again. You know?
Yes.
It's still a social taboo. People still, you know, really don't want to talk about it. They get very, very secretive because it somehow, to them, it somehow mirrors what others will think about them, of what's, you know, in their bank account and so forth.
And we play along with social games that we were. Yeah. Some people don't have a lot of money, but the social game is to show that I do, although I'm suffering inside. The other way is there's a different groups that might be have a lot of money, but their social says, no, don't tell anybody that you have money. You have to actually show that you don't. Yeah. So there's so much game that we play with around money that it's amazing. And it clutters the space of clarity that is in between us and the tool. Many other ways, you know, if I need to use a hammer to do something, I don't put so much meaning around it. It's just a tool that I got to get somewhere with. And then yet we put so much around this tool called money. And one of the principles in your book that you talk about is clarity. And clarity about all of this then leads to your alignment with that tool so that you can utilize it in a beautiful way in your life. Tell us about the principle 1, clarity.
Yes. So in the book, for people just hearing about this now, so there's 8 holistic principles that I talk about to transform your relationship with money. And holistic principles, meaning that it's one thing, you do one thing in another part of your life, it's all interconnected. And so clarity is one of these principles that when you begin to really understand your strengths, what you value, what is your purpose, what is your mission here, when all that starts to get into alignment, then there's this beautiful thing called congruence or congruence, however you want to, say that. But what happens is that there is alignment with everything. And when you have clarity, it's incredible. I found there's this lovely quote I once heard that on a clear day, you can see forever.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so true, because once that happens, nobody can stop you. You know, so that clarity is looking at, and it's going to help you also to honor your self-worth. And this is huge for women. And this is why one of the things is clarity is you must know who you are, what you value, what are your natural strengths, what are your passions. Play to your natural strengths, because that's one of the ways when you're having that much fun, you elevate your energy and the resources, including money, that you want to come to you. That's how they come to you.
Yes. I remember, I came to the U.S. as age 12, and I was raised in a family which had appeared to be wealthy, but had a lot of anxiety around money. And then when I came, the revolution happened, and around age about 16 or 17, there was no other money coming in from, my family. So I had to start working three jobs in order to go to school and do everything. And I remember having this type of anxiety consistently with it. Mm-hmm. And also having this idea that if I can't jump up and do a lot of things, it's because I don't have money, or the revolution happened and I couldn't. And getting stuck in that kind of a victimized state of mind and not being able to move. And that's your principle too. Your mindset really matters. And coming back to your one, it's like when I at one point got clear that this is what is. Nobody promised me a rose garden. This is life. And I can't wait for something else to happen. I got to get it in gear and just, work as long as I need, do whatever I need to do to get to what I need to go. And that type of clarity got me out of that victimized stance. And it's like, just go, girl, go do what you need to do to move forward. So tell us about the mindset matters, principle two, and then three, healing your emotions about money.
Yeah. So mindset is just so important, like exactly what you said. And it does matter most, because I call mindset the prelude to action. Because it is what you believe is going to be a domino effect with your action and your behavior and the consequences and the outcome, the results, right? So we want to make sure that at the very beginning, you have the right mindset. And so what I'm talking about in that principle is really releasing things that no longer serve you, and in terms of your mindset. So people will think, oh my goodness, how can I actually do that? You can actually do that way sooner than you think. You isolate a belief that you know is no longer serving you. Maybe it's something like money. I have to work really, really hard to make good money, that I have to work to burn out to make good money. And what if instead you replace that thought with something like, money comes to me easily and flows to me easily when I'm doing what I love. Mm-hmm. And then when you have that, then you have this internal kind of thinking back and forth going, well, but that's a different thought. And if that thought makes you feel expansive, then go back to the present thought and look at what that gap in between is. What do you have to release to get that new thought? And it's for a little while when you're just starting it. It's like a ping pong match in your head, right? Like this tennis game, right? But as you begin to really understand that, you actually grow this mindset muscle, that you understand the way of catching yourself of negative beliefs and of positively replacing them so that you can release what you don't need and also start to move forward to the belief that you want. And go ahead.
Well, it's very accurate, because I've worked with so many people that, for example, they've come from the poverty And they've made their millions, but their mindset is still stuck in that anxiety of poverty. And I've had like their children come to my office and say, you know, we're living in this $1 million or couple $1 million home, but our father still goes around and puts all the air conditioning down because like we have to suffer because he still has that anxiety. And it's like upgrading your mindset, one, to what you have achieved, two, upgrading your mindset and vision in a space where it might have been way, way, way beyond that you could ever have imagined or your family have ever imagined, but that for you, there's something that you want to reach, and you can always get role modeling from people who have reached it. So their skills are out there, but first you got to see that I can get there. So the mindset has to shift. The belief system has to shift before you can actually do that. And then you, and then healing the emotions that you have suffered.
Yes, exactly. So a lot of what the mindset and emotions, they correspond to each other. So you have an emotion, it's based on a mindset. You have a mindset that influences an emotion. So they're very, very closely tied together. So emotion, when I'm talking about emotions with money, I isolated it to four things that it's really around. It's around fear or guilt or shame or anger. That's related to money. And, you know, you'll know which one that is for you, because fear is fear of not having enough or losing it all, even if you have it, like that example that you just shared. The whole thing around guilt, there's a lot of women I know and I have worked with who, oh my goodness, they wouldn't spend it on themselves, but, you know, they will spend it on their children and other, and that's good. But when you're not even in the equation, how can abundance come into your life? So that's one thing. There's shame. And that's a bigger part. The shame is, you know, some level of not feeling lovable or not being loved. And that usually carries a lot of weight, especially with people who have a lot of debt, for example, or have lost money. And so there's a lot of things that need to happen to repair their self-confidence. And then the other thing is anger. I mean, there's so many stories of we've heard, you know, that families will get into arguments about money or friends. I mean, relationships end because of money. And then whatever people are carrying around in terms of their emotion with that anger, that's actually keeping them from the abundance and the prosperity that is rightfully theirs.
And for cultures that have, you know, some cultures, women are not necessarily in maximum. They're not necessarily earners. They are they're managers of the money and utilize it for the best capacity of their family, but they're not necessarily earners. I think from that perspective also, there's a lot of sometimes upholding, not feeling or owning or feeling confident in the space that, you know, that money is also theirs, or the confidence about their skills, because they always think somebody else is bringing it and I'm the spender. And I have to always be controlled by someone who earns the money, and therefore they go into manipulative skills versus confidence skills and how to negotiate, whomever earns it, how to negotiate, how to, you know, confidently take at the management skills that they have and value themselves for doing it. And so principle four, also you talk about confidentially expressing yourself. And I just wanted to add that part to that, you know, being confident, whether you earn the money or whether you own earn the money in your family, to be confident about the ownership of where you are.
Yes, exactly. And you're exactly right there. And what the other part of the principle four is about expression. It's really also about how we communicate and talk about money. You know, if you really listen, I mean, to yourself and to others, how people talk about money. I mean, I've heard all kinds of stuff. I have a love-hate relationship with money, or my husband deals with that because I'm not any good with the money, or things like, I don't really want to talk about money. I don't think that's an appropriate thing to do. It's really secretive, you know, all kinds of things that we say about money, or I'll never have it, or, you know, I'm never going to be good with money, things like that. And once we start to really listen to ourselves, and if we can stop ourselves from putting that out into the world, because as we know, things that we focus on and we start to speak it, it begins to expand and can ultimately create our reality. So we have to be very mindful. And I think that's a really good word, is mindful with how we express, how we spend our money, how we earn it, and how we talk about it. And I think that
even to ourselves.
And especially to ourselves, right? Because we're the first ones. We're having the thought, we're having the emotion, we're going to do the action, and then, you know, start to say it as well.
And our representation to the world, the way we speak about ourselves and our relationship to money. So we're going to be right back. Don't go anywhere, everyone. We're going to come back and talk about the rest of the principles. And now we're looking at how to create a long-lasting impact for the future. We're talking to Mary Floor Toniato at Money, Manifestation, and Miracles. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Were you recently injured in a car accident? Then you need the law offices of Ariat Thatakar for your free case evaluation. Don't let the medical bills pile up, and don't let the insurance companies try to settle your claim for a few hundred dollars. Call 714-464-3246. The law offices of Ariat Thatakar serves all of California. If they don't win, you don't pay. So call now, 714-464-3246. This is a paid-for attorney advertisement by the law offices of Ariat Thatakar of Orange, California.
Dr. Fujian Zane is a psychotherapist, a marriage and family therapist, and a life coach with more than 27 years of experience. She is the author of the Awareness Integration Model, which has been researched and published in numerous international journals. Dr. Fujian has offices in Beverly Hills, Irvine, and Woodland Hills, California, and also consults online and by telephone. Make an appointment with her today by calling 818-648-2140 or go online to www.fujian.com. That's www.fujian.com.
Join the conversation every Monday afternoon at 3 p.m. Pacific for Inner Voice Heartfelt Chat with Dr. Fujian. Dr. Fujian has a direct approach to getting you to free your mind. Inner Voice is a live call-in show where you can chat about your life and all that matters to you in your relationships. Inner Voice Heartfelt Chat with Dr. Fujian, Monday afternoons at 3 p.m. Pacific on Smart Talk, KMET, 1490 AM, and on the Internet Stream.
Have you ever wished you could just wake up one day, reach across your nightstand, and hit the life reset button? Let's face it, the struggles and frustrations of everyday life leave millions of women and men around the globe yearning for a new way. And the new way is right here in Life Reset, the Awareness Integration Path to Create the Life You Want by Dr. Fujian Zane. You can get it now at Fujian.com or Amazon.com. Life Reset, the Awareness Integration Path to Create the Life You Want. You deserve it.
We're back. I'm Dr. Fujian Singh. And we're talking to Mary Floor Toniato about money manifestation and miracles. So the principle 5, create your long lasting impact. Tell us more, Miriam.
Well, that's really about understanding your purpose. And understanding your purpose, and again, having the clarity to get into alignment with your purpose. And then when you know that, And we talked about earlier the fact that if you've got a big purpose, you've got a big mission, money is going to be required to help you fulfill that. And so it's really important to connect money with your greater why. Mm-hmm. Why do you need that money? What is that money for? What is the purpose of that money? And, you know, many people will say, oh, I really want to be a millionaire. I really want $1 million. And I mean, that's great from a, from a standpoint of having abundance or wanting abundance. What is that for, though? Are you going to be ready to have it? And are you going to be ready to keep it and to use it and to multiply it? Because, you know, a lot of the things is money, with having a lot of money and a lot of abundance also comes responsibility.
Yes.
Responsibility with being your highest and your best self. Yes. Because you will actually use that for the greater good. And this is why I think a lot of people, you know, we've heard that have won millions of dollars in lotteries in 2 years.
Exactly.
They can lose it. It's because they were never comfortable for it to be in their lives to begin with.
Exactly.
You know, they hadn't healed whatever it was that needed to be healed in their mindset, in their emotions, and in their belief system. And were they ever going to be responsible with their actions with money, right?
So, yes.
So, the greater why connection with money is really so important, because that's when your passion and your purpose really commingle. And when you can activate that, I mean, you're working on a whole different level, right?
You do.
Yeah, it's a different level. Yeah.
And then you talked about improving your money habits and actions. That is so important. That is so important. Because we could talk, we could envision, we could do all of that. But if the money habits are not changed, we're going to have the same results over and over again. I had it as, I should be able to spend as much money as I like. And that's just the way it is. And it's like, well, I could earn a lot. I had a lot of energy, but I remember when I got to be 50 and I'm like, somebody better start saving, because I'm not going to have this source of energy all the time to create. And I had to change that money habit of whatever shows up and I create, I have to spend it the same month. Well, that habit was fine for a little while, but it could not happen for the rest of my life. So improving, recognizing and improving those habits and actions are very, very important. And then empowering our growth in a whole different way and focusing on achieving results. And these are the three principles that I'm going back to back. And you can share with us all three of them in a sense together.
Okay. Well, the improving habits with, you're absolutely right. It's your actions on two levels. Having integrity with yourself and having integrity with your money. So that's very, very important, because, you have to be a person of integrity with your words, and you have to be really, so mindful with money that if you owe, like, cause it's like a mirror. If you owe somebody money and you've actually even forgotten about it, apologize and make restitution. Right. And, that's a thing, because that will come back to you as well, right? So you have to have integrity with your money. And I love the lesson that you learned. It finally stopped for you because you learned the lesson of having that money and keeping it. Then there's of course, your environment. And we talk about environment for self-growth. And it's not just the environment of the people around you, because you need to be with people who are going to take you higher in terms of your success, but there's other environments as well. There's your emotional, your psychological, your spiritual environment. So you need to also nurture that. And I talk about a lot of that in the book. And then there is always the focusing. Focus on achieving your results. If you have money goals, this coincides with your habits and your actions around money. You have to really stay focused on what those goals are. And it's like keeping your eyes on the prize. If there's something specific that you need it for, once you learn these goals and how to achieve that, you can actually use it with anything, not just money.
Very true.
Especially with money is because, you know, if we're, let's say we're saving up for something, you know, sometimes something happens and it takes us off track and then we forget about it. But this is, you know, staying focused on what it is for a specific purpose. So if you see the holistic principles, they're all interrelated because of the fact that it's all circular. It can come back full circle to you once you decide and you set the intention to have your money be different for you.
And I think that focusing on the achieving results is so important. Going back also to some of the things you said is because I've heard so many of my clients and my friends, they have this way of speaking about money is that there's this always a yearning in the future that I am resigned in the fact that I will ever get to it. And it's like, well, that mentality doesn't work. You know, either you're going to create intangible results and you're going to create habits and it's important to you to grow and you can take the steps step at a time to go. Or if this is where you are kind of comfortable based on your results, based on your actions, based on your energy, based on things that you have, then feel grateful, then feel gratitude, then feel joy about the abundance of what is. And instead of keep looking, not looking at the abundance and gratitude about what you created today and keep looking at the future that you're never pretty much intending to create, but to always have it as a lack of the, you know, lack in your life that is there. And I hear this so much about the conversation of money on a day-to-day living of people. That is so important to shift, to express confidently about who you are, what you want to create and empower yourself. And like we said at the beginning and you said in your book and I read it is enjoy the source, enjoy the abundance of it, have fun with it and, you know, create an abundance and the expression of abundance for yourself and love it and allow it to love you back and express it as the emotion of love, as you have said.
Yes, exactly. And I love that you talked about gratitude because on any plane, on any, whichever level you are at, gratitude is once what we focus on that and once we're more grateful for what we have, we'll have more of the same and even multiply that. And so anybody listening to us right now who thinks, you know, I'm really, there's nothing good going on with me money-wise. And, you know, I would say is practice gratitude even for a minute. Begin to list what you are grateful for. And I don't care what it is. I'm grateful for that there is sun. You know, it could be anything. So, and I promise you that your emotional vibration and your level will start to expand. And you will shift to an emotion that is more pleasing because we can only hold one emotion at a time. And being gratitude will get you so much further. Yes. From just sitting there and thinking some kind of a victim thought, right? Because believe me, I have been there. I have gone from nothing and, you know, and to a lot of wealth. And I know the difference. You know, once I started practicing gratitude, things started to shift for me in my
beautiful,
life.
Beautiful. So all of you go to maryfloor.com, right? MeriFloor.com?
.co.
It's
.co. Yes. Yeah, if you go to .com, Fujian, you'll end up in an Italian industrial company. So it's maryfloor.co.co. And there's a link there to the book and a lot of free downloadable things, including The Power of Practicing Gratitude audio.
Awesome. They can also find it on Amazon, right?
That's right. It's Amazon, okay. Barnes and Noble. And wherever their favorite bookstore is, it should be there.
So if you can remember, everyone, hold the gratitude and go to maryfloor.co. If you can't remember this, then just go to Amazon and everywhere else. Okay. So Money Manifestation and Miracles, go get this book. I want to tell you that I'm grateful to have you on my show. I'm grateful for all of you guys who are listening with your heart. I'm grateful for Sean being at studio. I'm grateful to have the opportunity to be with all of you. And remember, everyone, I'm doing online therapy and counseling from everywhere around the world and coaching. So call me if you need to create success in your life and let go of all the stuff you want to let go of and not have it in your life. Thank you, everyone. Create an amazing life for yourself and everyone around you. Until next week. Bye-bye.